appreciate it much. I noticed in your bulletin the announcements about the widow's luncheon, and we're very much appreciative of our widows. Sister Henson that is with us, she leads our widow ministry in our church, and appreciate that. Her husband and her were, we've known each other for 45 years, and associate pastors and pastored all over and associate pastors of our church for years. And her husband was tragically killed in an accident about 5 years ago. Sister Lisa does a great job ministering and ordained minister and blessing the widows. Amen. And it's a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Sister Lisa, would you like to say a word? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to God. And I've been blessed this week to travel with two women. Hallelujah to God. And the other lady, which she's already spoken, but Sister Robbie, if you'd like to say any more, we've been married 50 years, and God is blessed, and we're grateful. Praise the Lord. Almost. Amen. Amen. Pastor was sharing with me, he'd been here since 1996, so if math is correct, we're right about 30 years or fixing to be or somewhere close to that, 30 years of pastoring. Well, we pastored 30 years, and 17 years ago, we resigned our church and went back full time in evangelistic work, and after 30 years, I left home. Robbie said, "How much money we got?" I said, "I got $400 to my name." We was broke, but we had Jesus. And then for the next 15 years or 10 years until COVID, 10 years. We missed two Sundays of not ministering in 10 years. And I don't have any connections except Jesus. And if you got Jesus, that's all you need. Hallelujah. I can't write a book and tell you how it happens. I don't know how it happens, but Jesus. I know that, and I honor him today and honor pastors 30 years here. What a tremendous blessing. God bless you, Brother Scott and Sister Debbie. Hallelujah. It's sometimes 30 years like a lifetime, and then sometimes it's like, where'd that go? How'd we get here? Praise God. But what a blessing. And just a little bit about us. Normally, we had never been here, but we got two girls, and both of them, our oldest daughter and her husband pastored the church we pastored, and they've been there 17 years now as pastors, and God has blessed the church, and it's done a whole lot better since I left. How many likes to see your kids do better than you? In the natural, in the spirit, I'm like that. I want to see my kids do better than me. And then our other girl and her husband, they pastor in Louisiana and got a great, powerful church. And I never wanted my kids to be in the ministry because they come up under hard, difficult times. And I never prayed once that my kids would be in the ministry. Not once. But God calls things to work together. And probably could testify to 51 years of ministry, my greatest thing that's ever happened in our ministry is see God use your kids and your grandkids. Nothing tops it, nothing any better. See God continue, because the Word and the Spirit that's in you will be in your seed and your seed's seed. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Real briefly, just for a miracle testimony, I don't know a whole lot about it, but my wife and Sister Alicia both were there. Coming up in June, July, will be 2 years. I was preaching a missions conference in Leesville, Louisiana, and right in the middle of a message, I had a massive heart attack and fell out on the floor dead. And I was dead for 8 minutes and 30 seconds. And there was a ER nurse there. He did chest compressions. A medic girl from the Army base, she did the mouth-to-mouth. And then somebody remembered they had a defibrillator, and they shocked me, and it jump-started my heart. And my daughter finally got there and at the hospital, and the first thing she said to me was, because then I was all alert and everything was great, "Dad, did you see a light or smell smoke?" I said, "Thank you for the confidence." Don't you just love your kids? Hallelujah to God. Amen. But God is a miracle God. And we give Him praise and give Him glory. Amen. That we're still able to minister. And Brother Bert Clendenin said one time, I used to walk on the back of pews, and now I get as much out of a wiggle. And that's about where we are. But hallelujah, we're still on this side of heaven. Amen to God, and we give God praise and glory. Amen. All right, let's just wanted to throw that out there. People ask me all the time, the Bible said the dead know nothing, and that's what I know about it. I only relate to you what they told me. Hallelujah. St. Luke chapter 19. Man, I enjoyed this worship this morning. I come from old school. Back them days, we just called that, man, that was some good singing. Hallelujah. That's some good singing. Praise God. St. Luke chapter 19. We'll start at verse 1 and just read a few verses of Scripture. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. There was a man named Zacchaeus that was chief among the publicans. Not Republicans, but publicans. And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not because of the press or the crowd, because he was little stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus," called him by name, "make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Jesus was my kind of man, invited him own self to lunch. What a guy. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he has gone to be guest with a sinner. Gone to be guest with a sinner. You think that sin would get off on you or something? Zacchaeus said, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. Boy, he got saved. If I've taken anything by false accusation, I give him a fourfold. And Jesus said, this day, salvation has come to this house. This day, salvation has come to this house, for he's the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. In pastor's comments, prayer, a few minutes ago, I heard him say these words that resonated in my spirit. God has an appointment with somebody today. God has an appointment with somebody today. I want to speak to you on this thought today. That Jesus will go out of his way to meet you where you are. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. The world. Probably the most popular scripture in the Bible is John 3:16. That Jesus came to save the world. Died for the world. Thank God this is not just an American gospel or a Western culture gospel. But he come to save the whole entire world. And while we're busy, and I'm all about missions. I love missions. I support missions. Done it for years. Built churches in foreign countries and all that stuff. Because that's what we're commissioned to do. To minister to the world. To give the gospel to the world. So that the world might be saved. But in doing that, sometimes we find ourselves needing minister to ourselves. And that's what I want to focus on to you today. That Jesus will come and minister to you right where you are. You alone, if you feel like I'm lost, this is my last chance, my last stop. This might resonate in your spirit. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Wanted to know more about him. His pastor said, I want a better relationship with him. But there was a big crowd. How many knows you can get lost in a crowd? There was a big crowd. Lots of people coming to see Jesus. Him passing through Jericho. People just gathered around him. To hear him talk, some to criticize what he had to say. Everybody don't like good preaching. I just throw that out there. And while the crowd is pushing and shoving, and Zacchaeus thought, I want to see him. How many knows if you're hungry and thirsty, you'll find a way. I can't get through the crowd, but there's a sycamore tree. I know what I'll do because he's headed towards that sycamore tree. So I will run up ahead of the crowd and climb up the tree. I grew up in the country where we had lots of trees. And I'm like, I've climbed a few trees. And just as a kid, this just goes in my spirit. As a kid, we'd climb up a tree. Then we want to see how far we can get out on the limb. Straddle the limb. Get out there as far as you can. I can picture Zacchaeus doing that. Because Jesus is fixing to come under this tree. And I want to get as close to him as I can. I remember as a little boy growing up in a little country church. Every time we had guest preachers, I come up in a generation where we were taught kids are to be seen and not heard. Go play in the yard. That's what we did. But when preachers would come, something about it, Pastor Scott, that I, even as a child, I just wanted to get close to the preacher. I don't know why. I just wanted to be, I didn't want to talk to him. I just wanted to be near him. I just wanted to feel. I just wanted to carry his Bible. I just wanted to sit by him and hear what he had to say. Hallelujah. As a child, Zacchaeus felt that. I want something about this man Jesus. If I get close enough, maybe I'll feel what he's all about. And so he's there on in the tree. Jesus is walking by. Hundreds of people are pushing and shoving, trying to get to him. But when Jesus walked under that tree, he stopped dead still, looked up in the tree, and called him by his name. Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Today, I'm coming to your house. Today, I'm going to leave this crowd. I'm going to leave this church. I'm going to leave all these people, and I'm going to your house. Because I sense something in you, because I feel, oh, I'm going to tell you, faith will touch the throne room of heaven. If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. Woo! Hallelujah. Zacchaeus, come on down out of that tree. Zacchaeus felt something touch his life. Because when his feet hit the ground, he said, I'll give half of my possessions away. Lord, have mercy. So I want to say to you, and I'm going to move on to the next point. I'm usually not a point preacher, but I got three. If life has put you up a tree, Jesus knows right where you are. If life has put you up a tree, and you don't know what to do, where to go, you're just hanging out in a tree. Jesus going to stop under your tree today. Woo, hallelujah. Second point, you're familiar, so I'll not elaborate a whole lot. But John chapter 4, and I like verse 4. And he must need go to Samaria. And in Samaria, he sent the boys to town for lunch. And while he was there, here she come. A woman in her last stop. A woman with a messed up life. A woman with, I don't know what to do. A woman that no man could put up with. Don't nobody say amen. Hallelujah. A messed up life. A horrible situation. But when Jesus saw her, he struck up a conversation, which was unusual for her, for a few verses down says, why are you talking to me? Because I am a Samaritan and you are a Jew and y'all don't have no dealings with us. Amen. Why are you talking to me? He said, woman, if you only knew who you were talking to, how would you drink this water from this well, and in a few hours you'll be thirsty again. But if you drink this water that I give to you, you will never be thirsty again. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you this morning, North Valley? Somebody may be thirsty. And if you drink this, what I just heard in a song, we need rain, ever how you want to describe it. We need a river. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. We need showers of blessing. I just need a big old drink. Hallelujah. From the well of salvation, where the glory of God is. But the key point is this. Jesus knows exactly where you are. If life is put you up a tree, or you're at some watering hole somewhere trying to figure out what am I going to do, where am I going to go, what's going to be my next turn, what's going to happen to me, I got good news for you. Jesus is about to come by your way.
Revelation chapter 3 said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You know what that tells me? I come up through the charismatic movement, and back in that time, everywhere you went, somebody's calling out somebody and telling them their name, their address, their doctor's name, the doctor's address, all that kind of stuff. I never was impressed by that because I know my own driver's license number, and I know my own phone number, and I know my address, and I know where I live. Don't say amen. It's all right. I know all that stuff. But can I tell you, Jesus knows your address. Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at your door. And now, you may live somewhere out in the desert somewhere, but believe you me, you ain't so far away that heaven don't know where you are. He will come down your street. He will pull in your driveway. He will get out of his vehicle and he will knock on your door. And if you open that door, he has some sweet water that will forever change your life. He didn't come to condemn your life, to beat you down. Hell came to do that. But heaven came. I was in a horrible pit, in a horrible mess. But he reached some of us. He had to reach way down. Some of us he had to reach way down in the muck and mire. But praise be to God this morning that Jesus came down your street. Might have been in a church like this, not just at the altar, but he walked down the aisle, turned down your row, and took you by the hand and brought deliverance to your life. He knows where you are. He come to save the world, but this morning he come to North Valley Assembly of God in Phoenix, Arizona. Up a tree at a watering hole. Now some of you sanctified folks may not have a clue what that really means. But some of us we in, they say, in West Virginia, we know what watering hole is. Every day after work, you got to go by the water hole. Club. Joint. We got to go by there. So she was at the watering hole. But I must need go to Samaria. She met a man at the watering hole that totally transformed her life. And not only her life, but many in the city's life was transformed. Let me throw something here at you. This won't cost you nothing. In this world we live in of modern technology, social, whatever, Facebook, all that stuff, TikTok and all that stuff. When that don't work for you, all you need is tell the right woman. Don't shout me down now. Samaria been looking for revival for years. But when Jesus told the right woman. Hallelujah. When Jesus told the right woman, it brought revival to the whole countryside. They didn't have Facebook, texting. Hallelujah. And I'm still convinced it'll work today. My wife's mother went to be with Jesus a few years ago, but when she was young, in her early 30s or somewhere around there, the preacher would come right by her house going to his little church right down the road. And every service he'd stop and invite her to church. Well, she was a good old Baptist girl. No, I'm not going. He was Pentecostal. I'm not going. Go on. Go on. It's a long deal. But for weeks or months, Pastor Johnny Williams would stop by the Harrison house and invite Daisy Bell to church. And Daisy Bell, I'm not going. But one day she said, I'm going to go down to the little white church. And when she went to the little white church, before service was over, out in the spirit, speaking in tongues, and that one woman packed out that church by herself. Hallelujah. What I'm telling you is, Jesus said, I need to go to Samaria. Hallelujah. Several years ago, people asked me, you're from Texas, you own a ranch? I had 2 acres. Sold it, too much to take care of. But on that 2 acres, I had 20 big old pine trees about this big. Well, I didn't like them, so I want to cut them down. So I got the word out, I want to cut my pine trees down. Well, one day, this beat-up, ragged old truck pulled up in my driveway. That thing was a pile of junk. And I thought, I wouldn't drive that out of my yard. And this young African-American guy got out. And when he stepped his feet on the ground, I could tell his life was a mess. He wouldn't even lift his head to talk to me. Just mumble with his head down. Well, I gave him a job to get rid of my pine trees. And before he left, I just put my arm on his shoulder and I said, called his name and I said, I got a little church down the road. I'd like to invite you to come. And he said, can I bring my girlfriend? I said, yeah. Sunday morning, he showed up with his girlfriend. She was about 7, close to 8 months expecting. They came in totally out of place. They came in. I shook hands. I made them welcome. Hallelujah. I just loved on them. They left. They came back the next service. Came back the next service. Finally, one day he said, it's a couple of weeks' time, he said, we're gonna have a baby shower at Ryan's. Ryan's is kind of like Golden Corral. I don't eat at Ryan's. Their food ain't no good. The restaurant's dirty. I don't go there. He said, we're having a baby shower at Ryan's. Would you and Miss Robbie come? Well, I got a lot of things against that. Number one, I don't do baby showers. Number two, I don't do Ryan's. Number three, I don't like Ryan's. I'm not into that at all. None whatsoever. But that week, everywhere I'd go, I'd hear these words, you need to go to Samaria. I didn't need an interpreter to know what that meant. You need to go to Samaria. I don't want to go to Samaria. Finally, I told Robert, I said, we're going to the baby shower at Ryan's. Don't want to go. Ain't got no need of being there. Don't have no use of going there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Jesus will come where you are. I walked in Ryan's. They got a special room back there, this big banquet room. I went in there. There's about 75 African Americans in there. Old grandmas with no teeth. Me and my wife walked in there. We was the only white folks in there. I walked in there and for an hour. You know what I did? I didn't want to be there. But I shook hands. I hugged Granny's neck. I kissed her on the cheek. I didn't want to be there. Somebody ought to hear me right now. Hallelujah. I needed to go to Samaria. When I left there, I didn't have a clue. That young lady had 14 brothers and sisters. And that young man had 17 brothers and sisters. And Sunday morning, all because I went to Samaria, Sunday morning, he brought over 20 people in the back of a pickup and unloaded them and filled up three rows of pews. Somebody ought to hear me this morning. I said, Jesus knows right where you are. If life has put you up a tree, or you're at a watering hole waiting on somebody, Jesus has come by to tell you in your dilemmas, in your distress, in your frustration, in your chaos, in your anxiety, what am I going to do? How am I going to live? How am I going to make it? Jesus is about to enter into your life. I come to seek and to save that which is lost. I come to pick up that which is downtrodden. I come to trade these old garments of weariness for a garment of praise. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Next week we married them in a private ceremony. A couple weeks they had a baby. Little Kendrick showed up in a T.D. Jakes purple grapevine suit. He wasn't that big. Hallelujah. Heard it through the grapevine. Glory to God. God will change your life. But you got to say, I need to go to Samaria. Go to Samaria. Point number three. Acts chapter 8. Persecution was great in the church. Persecution ain't always a bad thing, because in that incident, persecution caused them to divide up and to spread out. And Philip, the deacon, went down to Samaria. And Philip got anointed to preach. Hallelujah. He wasn't just a good deacon. He was a good preacher. And he got anointed to preach, and he was preaching in Samaria. He probably thought he brought revival, but he forgot. Jesus met a woman at a well a few months ago, and revival's kind of stirring in town. But Philip got a crowd together and got preaching, and the scripture said that demons were cast out, the lame was walking, the deaf was hearing signs, wonders, and miracles. And without Facebook and texting, I don't know how, but word got back in Jerusalem, and the apostles sent James, Peter, and John down there to Jerusalem. And when they arrived, they preached on the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost come, hallelujah, and they baptized folks, laid hands on them. Amen. They preached on the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost still real today. Holy Ghost still real today. Tongue talking still real today. Hallelujah to God. I mean, a lot of folks don't believe in it, don't care. That don't upset me if you don't believe in it, because I know it's real and I know it works. It's kept me for these 52 years. This Holy Ghost, in an hour of problems, this Holy Ghost, it'll build up your faith to know that God is, and He's a rewarder. Right in the middle of this big time revival, offerings are good, crowds are good, people's getting healed, folks getting the Holy Ghost, an angel come and said, Philip, I want you to go to Phoenix, to the desert. Philip said, okay. So he went to the desert, left a big time revival to go to the desert. That's about the dumbest thing a man could do. Leave all this crowd and go to the desert. And when he got out there, he looked around and wasn't nothing happening. Then he probably thought, see, I know how the enemy talks to people. If God was so good to you, why are you in your predicament? If God's real, you must ascend or something. Philip, what are you doing out here? I'm trying to figure that out myself. But I believe this. If you acknowledge God, He'll direct your path. So I'm in the desert, wondering what I'm doing there. Then he sees a little cloud. Oh, there's a chariot in that cloud. The chariot gets closer. Then he heard a voice. And the voice said, Philip, join yourself to that chariot. So he chased him down. He looked like Usain Bolt. Hallelujah. If y'all don't know who that is, Google it. He's a fast dude, I'm going to tell you. Philip tracked down the chariot, stopped him. And the man was sitting up there in the chariot reading. He said, "What you reading, sir?" He said, "Well, I'm reading this, and it goes something like this." He was led like a dumb lamb before shearers, yet he opened not his mouth. And he said, "I don't really understand what that means. Is he talking about himself or somebody else?" And Philip said, "Man, I love this scripture, Pastor Scott." And Philip, starting from that scripture, preached Jesus to him. Hopped up in that chariot, said, "Let me tell you about this man. It was led like a lamb. They beat him. They slapped him. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They plucked his beard. They beat him merciless with a cat of nine tails. His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God, that came to save the world. But today, he showed up in the desert to save you. If you believe," he said, "I believe that he's the Son of God. What does hinder me to be baptized?" Somebody, I won't tell you, if life has put you up a tree, at some watering hole somewhere, or in a desert place where you're just lost and don't know where life is going to take me, Jesus has come by today to notify you, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Woo! Let me tell y'all something that happened to us this week. This is an amazing thing. I've never been to Las Vegas. But years ago, we bought into a timeshare, and they had a week thing, and we traded our week. So I stayed in Vegas this week for $140 for the whole week. I am blessed. All week. And all we did was sightsee. Went around looking at the fancy artwork and palaces. Them, all them machine stuff don't tempt me one bit in the world. It don't mean a thing to me. Besides seeing and seeing God's creation, I love it. I mean, I get drunk on that stuff, just driving down the road looking at stuff. Mountains and just... We're eating lunch at 1:30 lunch in a restaurant in a mall on the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Never been there in my life. Don't know a soul there. We're eating, and a lady going to the restroom stops and looks at my wife and said, "You're Robbie Batchelor." "I am, and this is my husband, this is my friend. I follow you on Facebook. And I prayed for you the whole time you was in Israel." In February, my wife went, was invited on a ministry thing. We didn't even pay for that. They paid for the whole deal. She went to Israel, and she was in Israel when the war started, when the first missile was fired. She was in Israel. And so for 3 days, there was 115 Holy Ghost-filled women on that trip. And they spent 3 days in a bomb shelter, in and out of it. And people ask me all the time, "Was you worried about them?" I said, "No." Why not? Because there was 115 tongue-talking Holy Ghost women in there. I read somewhere there was almost 120 of them. And you know what happened? It turned the world upside down. And God said, "In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit." And a Jewish rabbi that was their guide said, "I never seen nothing like this. I don't understand what's happening around here. You can't make that stuff up." This lady stood there and poured her heart out to us. This week has been an attack from hell for my family. My finances, my daughters, my oldest daughters separated with us, her and her husband, for 2 weeks. Another daughter's this and this and this. She said, I got to go, but before you leave, could you come pray with us?" We finished eating. Me and her walked back there. I don't know these people. I started talking to the man. There's an old man. That's her dad. He's shaking. Robbie went straight to him, laid her hands on him, started praying for him. Didn't ask no question, just started praying for him. Hallelujah. In a big fancy restaurant. On the strip. In the desert. Where we don't know a soul. Where we ain't never been in our life. This stuff is too good. You can't make this stuff up. But God knows they was in a desert. God knows. And for the 30 minutes, my wife took each one of them girls' hands and laid hands on them in tears rolling down their face. The whole time I was just talking to the husband, getting to know who they are and where they are and where they're from and where they're going and a little bit about them. I just let her... Hallelujah. You learn after a while, when you're in the groove, just let them go. When they're in the groove, somebody ought to hear me. Hallelujah. God knows if you're in a desert, if you're lost, if you're out there wondering, what am I doing here? How did I get here? Why did this happen to me? I'm going to tell you, Jesus come to save the whole world. But this morning, May the 17th, 2026, in North Valley Assembly God Church in Phoenix, Arizona, God came to tell somebody, I come for you. I come to touch you. I'm concerned about the whole world, but this morning it's you. Would you stand? I'm gonna quit. I ain't done, but I'm quitting. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. If this word touched your spirit, this word got in your spirit, this word, you're talking to me. I'm up a tree. I don't know how I got here. I'm at a watering hole wondering, I need something to drink. I need something from that well of salvation. I need a drink of that living water today. Ain't it something? We're in a desert. But can you believe that? Las Vegas, Nevada, with the lights flashing, the marquees flashing, all that stuff happening, and right in the middle of it, heaven comes down. Right in the middle of it, when people are there wondering, what in the world are we going to do? Our life is falling apart. I don't know what to do with these teenagers. And heaven comes in a restaurant and takes you by the hand. Hallelujah. Probably we'll never see them people of the rest of our life. Total strangers. They follow us on Facebook. That's all I know. I don't know them. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus knows right where you are. Sing something, brother. Whatever you feel led to say. And let me ask you, I need Jesus to come by my way right now. Would you come and just stand here with me? And we'll just pray together. Hallelujah. And we'll just believe. See, I believe this gospel. And he said, if you preach this gospel, I'll confirm it with signs following. If you declare my gospel, and the gospel is when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Heavenly Father, minister in this young lady's life today. Holy Spirit of God, come and wrap your arms. Lord of heaven, to touch her mind today. In the name of Jesus, his precious mama. Holy God, come this morning, Lord. At the word of the Lord, embrace us. God, minister to our brother today. God, you know what we have need of before we even ask. We ask it today. Lord, in a desert place, in a dry place, Lord, I just need a drink of that water. I need a drink of that living water today. In the name of Jesus. Ain't it something they'll tell you in the desert, you'll dehydrate real quick. The heat and the dryness, you'll dehydrate real quick. That's what Jesus said. I'm the living water. I'm the living water. God of heaven, minister to our brother today.
You'll find he's not too busy.
Holy God, minister to you.